Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bourassa.
Braden Holtby!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. Yes, we are back. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point. And with me as always, and I'm going to save my breath here, going to dispense with the long-winded introduction. You know who she is. You've been waiting for her all summer long. Beautiful one. Oh, yeah. It's the beautiful, wonderful Anna Knox.
Greetings. Hi, Gil. It's been a while.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has been. As one fellow Caps fan mentioned, the longest off season ever.
Yeah, this one was pretty painful.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's really long.
Yeah,
really long. But that's but it's coming up. I mean, we've got what 36 days. Is that right?
Yeah, well, we've got all of the 30 days, half September. And yeah, you're right. I think the season starts it definitely starts first week of October.
Right.
I can't remember off top of my head what opening day is. Going to have to pull up the handy dandy. Oh, my God, this is how rusty it is. It's downloading an update. That's how long it's been since I opened the friggin' thing. Okay, so, while we're waiting for that, on the first day of my summer vacation, I went downtown to look for a job. I hung out in front of the drugstore.
No.
No?
No.
No. Okay, no, I didn't do that, but that's kind of, yeah, that's kind of the story of, yeah.
Of your summer. Well, when I was
a younger lad, that.
Yes, of course. Back in the day.
Yeah.
I actually had a summer vacation that was pretty lengthy, like 8 or 9 weeks off of school, but I spent the majority of them on the pool deck, which we knew was for the swim team, and swimming myself. So I had a little bit of time. Although this had to have been the hottest fucking summer we've had. My God. I mean, it was brutal on some of the, and people would be like, oh, but you're on the pool deck. Well, but I'm not in the water. I'm like, I'm working the meat and it's hot and there's no shade and the water was not refreshing. Even if I had a chance to go and it was like warm. So that was kind of annoying, but then.
And you're basting yourself in sunscreen.
Of course. Yeah. Like that smell, like that sunscreen smell was like basically my scent the whole summer, which I'm okay with. Like, some summer, like I don't wear makeup. I don't give a crap about my hair and it's just sunscreen. And then we had an opportunity to go to Carolina Beach, North Carolina, which holy crap. It was probably some of the best waves I've seen and been in a long time. It was really awesome. I took a surfing lesson. It was an epic fail, I'll be honest. Like, come on now.
I'm gonna reserve comment on that.
Why? Come on, we're back. I can handle it.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to run through that visual in my head.
Yeah, it's not pretty.
You on a surfboard?
Yeah, it's not pretty. It was like my girlfriend and I in when we were living in Los Angeles used to always joke about, you know, how much we loved manatees and like they're like, oh, this like adorable sea cow. I straight up was manatee on that surfboard. It was sorry. Like, oh my God. And of course, like here's the private lesson, which, you know, Ian signed me up for with Avery. So she had this cute little 16-year-old girl. And then down comes, you know, down the sand, down the dune with this huge 10-foot surfboard is John, who's fucking hot. I won't lie. And that, of course, I'm like, of course, that's going to be my instructor. And of course it was, because I could also be his mom because he's like 20. But yeah, so of course, the day that we decided to do this, the waves were absolutely insane. And like, if you've ever, you know, you're in the water and the waves come in sets, and these were like one after another, like every second. So like, if you dove through a wave, another one was like crashing over your face. I will tell you, I have pulled things on this body of mine that I didn't even know I could. Like, oh my God. So when you told me about Jenny before, oh, I could relate. I could relate. So that was like kind of my, you know, I'm going to try this. It's on my bucket list. And then I was like, yeah, no. Manatees. And it was an epic fail. And I'm sure they all had like a great laugh after. I had a good sense of humor because I'm like, you're going to wipe out. It's like inevitable. But so I did like a lot. I was able to get up on a knee and that was okay. It's a lot harder than you think it would be. So, and we had to like go like super far out. It was like, all right, so I'm worried about balancing on this board while this gorgeous specimen is in the water holding the board so this manatee body of mine doesn't roll off and make an ass out of herself. And then of course, like in the back of my head, I'm like, holy shit, like I just watched all those Shark Week episodes and I'm doing exactly what you shouldn't do. Like be out in like really far out and, you know, kicking and flailing and just looking like a total dumbass. So, but you know what? I can now say I've done it and I have that much more appreciation, which I always did for surfers, but it's elevated, definitely elevated. So you should try it sometime.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but, yeah, I was trying to mention earlier, I somehow you were describing all that and I couldn't get, again, visuals in my head always, but you described this hunky guy that's going to be your instructor,
mm-hmm.
or was your instructor,
mm-hmm. John,
John. And I could not get the visual of the Baywatch slow run out of my head.
Oh yeah. Oh, straight up.
Yeah.
I mean, he yeah. Well, not me Baywatch and God, no, slow motion. Everything's like, ugh, no, he definitely could have pulled it off. Like he was really, I'm not going to say only the female fans will appreciate this, but it would be like you're out there and they're like, hi, Tom Wilson's your instructor. And you're like, oh, or Michael Kempney, Jesus. So it's like, you know, you feel stupid and like trying to act cool. And he's looking at me like, you could be my mom and you can't balance on this. And it's really annoying. But no, he actually was really, really a great guy. But yeah, Baywatch, yeah, John totally would have qualified. He would have taken like the Knight Rider.
A little bit of the Hoff in him and
a little bit.
Okay. All yeah. Right. I got it. I think I got it now.
So that was my summer.
Yeah, no son of the beaching for me. Nothing like that. I did take some time off. Not to get all serious. I mean, there'll be time enough for that later with our big ass topic we're going to be talking about, which is why we're doing this edition. Yeah, I kind of had not a health scare, but I kind of had a health revelation about a month and a half ago. As like dealing with some issues, and I'm finally at the age where I'm like, you know what? I need to start taking care of myself and yeah, I need to stop eating and drinking like a teenager. So, yeah, and starting on that been starting on that for a couple of months. A little bit of keto diet, a little bit of this and that. Nothing drastic. Whenever you jump into anything like that whole hog, as my wife Jenny said, you're setting yourself up for disaster. So kind of doing baby steps at a time and making little tiny changes here and there. So, you know, getting back to things so you won't. Old Blue Liner's not going to be hitting up the beer as much.
I'm still drinking. So my hasn't. I will say though, like I definitely had moments on this vacation where I was like, God, you are not getting any younger. Although you look really hot, you're not getting any younger. Just kidding. But I was like, yeah, I kind of had the same little moments of, you know, really just being like, there are some things out there that I was stressing over last year or obsessing over. And I was like, I'm not like, fuck it. It is so not worth it. You're kind of going into the school year with a clean slate, going into this hockey season with a clean slate. And health-wise, yeah, you know, it's like, I don't want to be miserable on some diet, but I also would love to be around here till I'm like 110. So aren't you all lucky?
Yeah. It's, yeah.
You know, as long as you're happy.
Yeah. It's all about the well-being. So
it is.
I get that. Totally get that. Okay. So, let's get into a little, off-season talk. Of course, when we last left you, it was a long time ago in a galaxy, not so far away. Called the DMV, and our favorite hockey team had just been dethroned by a bunch of jerks. But as it turns out, a very deserving team ended up winning the cup, that being the St. Louis Blues, who we happen to be opening the season against. Wednesday night, October the 2nd is the season opener.
For some reason I had Boston. Are we playing them for their opener?
No, that was last year.
No, but maybe we're playing them for their opener?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's the Blues and I can't remember. I think it's in St. Louis. So they get to do the cup handoff and the banner raise, which is, you know, it kind of sucks, but it's also kind of cool at the same time.
You know, well, it's going to be a hell of a lot easier to watch it with that team and that crowd versus if we had to go, you know, God, to Tampa Bay or fucking Carolina or, you know, to New York or something. So this was kind of, you know, it wasn't the result of the Caps fans and Cap players wanted, but in the end, you know, it had a good story. It had a good vibe and a good, like, you know what? I kind of like stories like that. So I was okay with it. I mean, if it's not going to be the Capitals, I'm certainly not going to be pulling for this team always, but it was okay. It was, you know, at hockey, the whole Stanley Cup series was like absolutely insane and totally unexpected. I'm glad I didn't bet because holy shit, I would have been out like, you know, yeah, like out. And Ian would be like, what the hell's wrong with you? But so I'm looking forward to, 37 days or whatever it is that we have.
Yeah, it's a Wednesday night, October the 2nd, season opens. And again, that's looks like it's in St. Louis against the Blues. That's of course going to be on NBCSN. Going to be pretty good, and hockey will be back in full swing then. So yeah, can't wait myself, of course. But training camp we got in about a couple 3 weeks, right. And hoping to we were talking about this before, hoping to get you out to MedStar,
right.
Or one or two sessions there. So you're going to be our eyes and ears on the ice there. So we're going to do a show based on that.
I just have to look at the schedule. Like I said, I went back to teaching today, and usually the times I've gone to when it was Kettler and now MedStar, they're usually like at 10 o'clock morning practices. And So I don't know what they're going to do in the weekend. Then, of course, God, if it's on a weekend, that place is packed.
Yeah.
So depending on how my schedule pans out, I might be sick one day.
That'd be convenient.
Wouldn't it? They're like, but we just started. I'm like, germs. My kids are all have cooties, so I'm bound to get sick within the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I can see that happening. So just a quick, real quick recap of the major offseason moves. The biggest one, of course, was the trade. We had some Niskanen business happening. Matt Niskanen traded for Radko Gudas in what was, by all accounts, a brilliant salary cap move. Unfortunately, we traded probably our one of our better top four defensemen, even though kind of had a suck-ass year, most would say.
Yeah.
But it had to be done, had to make some cap room, traded for Radko Gudas, who bottom six, bottom pairing defenseman. Don't expect him to play too many minutes, but meshes well with the physical style they play. So I think he'll be okay. I don't think it's going to be too much of a disaster if he can keep his. He's been reckless at times. If he can keep that aspect of his play down and not cost the team that way,
right.
So he's one
of those players, though, that, God, did he ever just get under my skin? You know, like another one of those, like, you know, throat punch worthy people where I look at like a Malkin and I'm like, I hate you. I just look at your face and I hate you. So I am trying to like be a mature adult in this situation because like, you know, last season we talked about my number threes. Even though Jaskin is not coming back, unfortunately. But he's now going to be number three. So this is going to be like me. I'm going to put my big girl pants on and like be mature about. I mean, I'm sure as hell not going to go buy his jersey. But I have to be okay with him, you know, leaving his old team behind and putting on that Capitals jersey and me being okay with it. So.
Well, I think you'll change your mind the first time there's a big scrum and his... His huge self is in the middle of things, pushing people around, standing up for his team, because that's also what he's known for. So I think we'll be okay then.
Yeah. So it just totally random, but like I have to say that, and I just completely drew a blank on the cartoon character's name. But who was like the nemesis with Popeye?
That would be Bluto.
There you go. That's the only thing that comes to mind when I see this guy. So I'm like. I'm going to kind of, I need to find like.
I posted that on our Facebook page.
Shut up. When?
Like the 2 days after it happened, the trade happened.
What?
Don't look on our page. I posted like a side-by-side separated at first type of thing.
See, that's why we were meant to be on the air together. Wow. Well, I had no idea. Maybe I even liked it. And I just like put it in the back of my head, like far, far away. And all of a sudden, but yeah, like he is totally that guy. And that's okay. That's okay. Yeah. So I'm going to be mature about it. And, you know, Niskanen, you know, good luck.
Yeah. Yeah. Served us well. And yeah, best of luck on the rest of his career. But yeah, had to be done. Like I said, BMAC had to make some room because had some signings to deal with. Now, unfortunately, with the latest signing, that being Chandler Stephenson, that leaves us slightly over the cap. So between now and opening night, there's some moves to be made because on opening night, you cannot be over the cap.
Right.
So they're going to have to figure out what to do here. So that'll be interesting.
Do you have any thoughts?
Pardon me. I'm very surprised that they kept Stephenson, to be honest.
Yeah.
He had such a terrible year last year.
Yeah. Well, I think you and I, oftentimes, I think I kind of joked about, you know, when he get interviewed, he's just one of those people that I kind of forgot about. You know, I had that with Niskanen for a little bit, but Stephenson was one that you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that guy.
And he had such a promising playoffs last year. And I don't know. He just disappeared this year. I know he's on the fourth line, but still, you know, you got to contribute, and he just didn't. That whole fourth line was just blah.
It was blah. That's okay. But
they'll figure it out. So okay, so I guess we need to stop stalling here and get to the reason why we're doing this show and the reason why all of you loyal and faithful listeners out there in the District of Columbia, Commonwealth of Virginia, and the state of Maryland, and around the globe as well.
Does that mean that you don't want to hear about my surfing lesson anymore?
I think we heard plenty. I think I have enough in my mind's eye to serve me.
It's like, the manatee. I'm telling you, you're like, you're never gonna be able to look me in the eye and be like, oh my god, sea cow, I love you. You're so great. You're just this big sea cow on a surfboard.
I'm keeping my mouth shut.
All right.
I'm not saying a word.
You can, whatever. Because
I will bury myself worse than, well.
I'm so excited to be back. All right, the reason why we're really on the air. Go ahead.
Yes. Okay. Well, as everybody knows by now, of course, last week was the big revelation that center Evgeny Kuznetsov was caught with traces of a banned substance, and that banned substance being cocaine, by the IIHF, International Ice Hockey Federation, and thus banned for 4 years. So that excludes him from taking part in not only the next Olympics, but also any World Championships tournaments, as well as the World Cup, should they decide, or the World Cash Grab, as I call it, that they, if they decide to revive that. So basically, he cannot, for the next 4 years, represent his country at all because of that. So that's the immediate impact. So let's start with the facts of the case. Of course, before that, a couple 3 weeks after the season ended, there was that picture that went viral over the internet that showed Kuznetsov in a room with table about 6 inches away that had some strange white powder on it. And of course, everybody was like, well, okay, what's this? What's going on here? What was your involvement? And that's when he said, and I partially quote, I've never done illegal drugs in my life. Go ahead and test me now. Famous last words. And and then we come to last week, where come to find out, yes, he did indeed have those traces. Now, I don't want to cast any doubt here, but those tests aren't 100% infallible. And the initial report that came out said something about his not having a B sample as a backup, which is standard. So I just want to point that out. But I mean, it's pretty, I won't say it's cut and dry, but I mean, if he's, you know, admitting it, then, you know, of course you know, it's pretty damning. So you got to go with it. It just seems a tad bit iffy to me because it doesn't 100% follow the normal procedure. Mm-hmm. So of course now he's caught in a lie, and let's make no bones about it. If he says he never did it, and then there's evidence that he did, well, there's only one thing to call that. You know, it's not just walking and talking and acting like a duck. It is a duck. So that's what you call it. Now, fortunately or unfortunately, none of us will ever know the whole truth about this, in that, was this a one-time use? Does he actually have a problem? Well, if you use it once, you know what? You do have a problem. So he does have a problem, and he's owned up to that. Now, some of you out there might be thinking, well, maybe he did only use it once, and what's the harm in that? What's the harm in experimenting? Well, you younger folk out there, I will answer that with one name: Len Bias. How many times did he try cocaine? Once. And what happened to him? He died. I'll leave it at that. So that's for anyone that thinks, well, what's the harm in trying it once? Well, there you go. So I wanted to throw that out there. Something else I wanted to throw out there as well. So his NHL future is in doubt. So another fact out there. The NHL head honchos have been notified and are looking into this and are discussing what to do next. Now, Kuznetsov, as we know, by this point, has voluntarily taken the first steps in going into the league's substance abuse program, which is a very good sign. So, again, starting to own up to it, but that doesn't mean he's out of the woods as far as any possible supplementary discipline. Now, cocaine is not a banned substance in the NHL. However, the NHL is within its rights to punish a player that utilizes illegal drugs in any form, and not even utilizes. Bob Probert, all those years ago, one historical precedent, Bob Probert, all those years ago in the early 90s, was caught at the Canadian border with cocaine in his underwear, and they kicked him out of hockey for what I think it was 2 years. And then around the same time, Grant Fuhr, the famous goalie for the Edmonton Oilers, who won the five cups, he was suspended 59 games when it was discovered. Well, it was never actually admitted to be cocaine, but there's a lot of evidence that says it was. So they never actually caught him using it, but again, there was enough evidence that pinned it on him, and the league suspended him for 59 games. So again, the league's within its jurisdiction to apply additional punishment as they see fit in this case. So, you know, we're all holding our breath for that. So
when is that decision going to be made?
I haven't heard a thing yet. They're still talking about it, but hopefully within the week is what I'm hearing. Now, of course, the longer they draw this out, the worse it's going to be for all of us. But yeah, that, you know, it's a definite possibility, folks. So, you know, stay tuned as best as you can. Now, so we've already talked about how he's lied and how that's made him look good. And of course, he's done something to not only jeopardize the team, but his own personal health as well. And of course, on top of that, he has a family to look after. So this is all, yeah, it all looks bad. Of course it does. And there's no denying that whatsoever. And he's put himself in a very, very bad position. He's put his team in a bad position. I'm not going to say this is like a black eye on hockey, but it kind of makes the sport look bad too, because hockey players are generally looked at as cleaner, more genial, you know, friendlier, you know, not prone to do something like that, as opposed to other sports where you hear about domestic violence and abuse and all that. And all, and you know, that's the other bad side of it, is that this could open the door to other revelations such as that. So that's, you could say that it's leaving a bad mark on the sport as well. But there is a silver lining in all this, as I like to say. There is some good, in that we can remember what he's done in the past, what he meant and does still mean to this team, and most importantly, how with the proper support from us and his team and the organization and his counselors, that he can come out of this a better person, if not a better player. I was talking with Robbie Gross earlier about this, and he shared his concern that, well, maybe all this will cause him to lose a step, and maybe he won't quite be the same player. Well, that's the chance we have to take. But ultimately, the goal is that, again, he's going to come out of this a better person, learning his lesson, and, you know, pass the knowledge on to future generations. Look, you don't do this kind of thing. You're might be susceptible to it, but it's not worth the risk. It's not worth endangering your own health, you know, leaving behind your family, leaving behind the things you love. It's just not worth it. And hopefully he'll have learned his lesson and not be something of a repeat offender. So ultimately, that is what's in his and his family's best interest. And that's more important than anything as far as Evgeny Kuznetsov, the human being. Now, of course, we all hope he comes back and remains the dominant player he was in the 2018 playoffs. But again, just like the possible supplementary discipline, you know, remains to be seen. And it's going to be a long, long journey. I'm not saying this season written off quite just yet, but he's got a long road ahead of him. And we as fans, it's our job to not only hold him accountable, okay, that's the dark side of this, but to support him as well, because that's what you do with somebody in your family that has a problem. That is what you do, and that's also what's in his and his family's best interest. And that's what it boils down to.
Okay. I will say that I still, after listening to you talk, I have conflicting opinions, which I know you're not surprised with. I happened to be at a training last week with my school where all the teachers come back together. And, you know, like anybody else who has to sit in a room and listen to the same old crap and welcome back and be the best you can be, I was on my phone. And that story popped up. So thank you, Troy Ryder, for sending that to me, because I was like, oh my God. And there's a couple of other female fans that I work with that I've spoken to. I've spoken about them before. And we were like, oh my God, what does this mean? What does this mean? And pretty much after I had time to think about it, I was like, you know what? The only word that truly came to mind was that I was disappointed. I will honestly say I was disappointed. Was I pissed? No. Is the guy human? Yeah. Can I give you a laundry list of stupid shit I did in college that I'm like, I don't even know how I'm still alive today? And I'm not saying that to gloat. I'm just saying that I did things in college and probably after college, too, like, let's just be honest, that were not, you know, in my best interest or my body's. And so this guy is there. Like, I think what the one thing that did piss me off is like, who's the douche that filmed this? Like, who's that guy? Knowing what he was like, you're taking a picture, you're putting your quote unquote friend out there. You know, social media is going to like eat this story up like crazy, which of course it did. And that's not fair. So, you know, it's like was it a mistake? Was it he just got caught? I don't know. And he lied about it. Well, yeah, I think anybody would kind of want to have that reaction, being caught doing something they weren't supposed to. You know, he doesn't want to come out. He's got, you know, fans, he's got family. It's embarrassing. And for the amount of pride that he has in his country, and he's spoken about this, and the fact that he cannot represent them for the next 4 years is truly devastating. Okay, so then that's a punishment there. Plus the fact that in this day in social media, here we are on a podcast talking about it. It's all over Twitter, bunch of assholes out there saying, and you know, memes and whatever else, completely uncalled for. So here's a guy that's just like this stigma. This one incident, let's hope it was one incident, is never going to go away. So isn't that punishment enough? I mean, isn't it truly like, you know, you're going to get some douche Malkin out there like rubbing his nose being like, Kuz, you okay? Or whatever, you know, whatever they want to do. People are going to be like that. He's going to have this dark cloud over his head for the longest time, for the longest time. But is he the only athlete that's ever had to go through this? Like you said, in hockey, it's a little bit different, but I still feel like there are shady hockey players that have done some shit that just haven't gotten caught. You know, you've got baseball players and domestic violence, baseball players and steroids, football players, you know, you have it. It happens. This just happened to be it's a blemish in the NHL. It doesn't, you know, it's being dealt with. The guy has enough going against him right now that let's hope when he comes back, then that if he, you know, is doing everything that he's saying he's going to do, then why can't we just give him the opportunity to start this season fresh. I mean, I know people were frustrated with them last year, and I actually saw somebody on Twitter who's like, well, this explains why he played like shit last year. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Like, if you're on cocaine and you're on the ice, like, he would have been, like, fighting everybody and, like, going all kinds of crazy. He wasn't. It wasn't his best year. He was injured. He had other shit going on. It had nothing. I don't see the correlation with cocaine. I also, you and I talked about this before. I don't agree with people taking the time to be total and complete assholes on social media that we can't support him moving forward. Yeah, we can. You know, he made a mistake. It was a terrible thing. But you know what? It's done. He's got, like I said, he's got all of the social media, the fans, his team, his family disappointed. And that's a terrible feeling that you're going to have, knowing now that you have to go and redeem yourself. And now you have to be tested like every week or whatever. So he's got enough punishment going on there. I don't know what the NHL is going to do. I may have a different opinion, you know, on whether or not he is, that he's earned playing every game. But the situation was, you know, it's off season. It was in Russia. You know, I don't know. I don't know. But I guess I don't know. I guess I just feel like, you know, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. I was guilty of doing stuff that was illegal, drugs, whatever, in college, experimenting, you know. I can say that there's probably been a ton of us out there who have gone to a bar and had a couple of drinks and we get in our car and drive home. That's illegal. Not saying that we're wasted, but you know what I'm talking about. So he did this. All right. He fessed up. He's got his consequence, got his punishment. Move on. That's all.
Well, yeah. And see, and this is this, that's where he's at now. And as I said, that's going to be the hardest part in all of this is him moving on. And he's at step one of you know, what's probably going to be the longest and hardest time of his life.
Right. But okay. But Gil, imagine, okay, have you ever done something that you were like truly embarrassed or you regret?
Oh, lots of times. None of us. Okay. Look, so, nobody.
So imagine if I was like, oh, so this is what you did. And I put it all over Twitter and all over the news and all over podcast, and all over this and all over that. And you're just like, holy shit. Like, I mean, talk about putting your, you know, you are so vulnerable that you're going to go out. And that's like, that is the only thing people are going to say. It's like, hey, Gil, you're a blah, blah, blah now. Or, you know, you did this. And that's how people are going to know you. So the only way that you get away from that is to get your head in the game, you know, go to the therapy things that you need to do and block out all that negativity. And that's just it. Like people, again, glass houses, we've all done stuff. It just sucks that social media and these days is so brutal and in everybody's face. Well, a little, and in everybody's lives, it's like, come on, we don't need to be that.
Well, unfortunately, that's the times we live in now. And I know. Yeah. 15, 20 years ago, there wasn't any such, well, not to the extent we have it, certainly not 30 years ago. When a couple of the players I mentioned had to go through it, but I mean, it's still not going to be easy. Grant Fuhr had bags of sugar thrown at him in opposing NHL arenas.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, he is going to be punished enough on social media. God, it's dragging his family through it. And then plus his country, you know, like he's got this blemish on his record in this dark cloud that it's like, isn't that just punishment enough to know that somebody has to go through this absolutely embarrassing shit? Because you know, the first game against the Pens, someone, there's going to be some asshole fan out there that is going to take it too far, you know? Of course. It's like, and so you have to be like, oh my God, this is all this stuff. It's like a bad hazing. Like you got to go through all this stuff before. Well,
and that's why I say that we, we fans of the Capitals have to be in, you know, in his corner. Now, do we condone what he did?
Of course not.
Accept it. Say it's a bad thing. Yes, but do we condone it? No. He made a mistake. He made a huge mistake that could have cost him his life.
Absolutely. Well, and that there's that.
You don't just toss that aside. But
No, I know.
Do what you can to turn it into a teachable moment, something that can, you know, you turn it into a good as much as you can. You know, and that's what I'm talking about here. But you can't just toss it aside and say, well, you know, all is forgiven. Well, let's just forget about it. No, like you said, it's going to be with him for the rest of his life.
Yeah. Well, and it's just, you know, you have to look at it as, I mean, and this kid is probably not the best example and stuff like that, but it's like, okay, so I grew up in the Bay Area, and you had Mark McGwire and Jose Canseco. Okay, so then you have these two powerhouse baseball players that were like, oh my God, they could do no wrong. Like, everyone was like, these guys are amazing, and this team is the best. I mean, I was a San Francisco Giant fan, but still, like, these guys were pretty freaking awesome in Oakland. And all of a sudden, so, like, you have this entire career, and then all of a sudden, they test positive for steroids. And their entire season is just, or seasons, their career, it's, like, wiped clean. And it's like, now no one talks about these players as anything other than, you know, total losers. And, you know, they were enhanced, you know, like nothing was natural, and like that they fooled everybody. I mean, it was just like this big freaking deal. But that was steroids, and it was multiple, you know, years of using it and all that kind of stuff. And these guys to this day, if you ask, you know, people who follow their careers in the 80s, you'd be like, oh yeah, Jose Canseco. They'd be like, oh yeah, steroids. Mark McGwire, oh, steroids. You know, like, they're crazy. I would absolutely hate to think 25, 35 years later that's what Kuzi's name is going to be attached with. I think that once the social media dies down and, you know, he stays out of the limelight and he goes to practice and he does what he's supposed to do and he shows up at the games if he's able to play and gets that, you know, 92 mentality back in, because you know the players are ripping into him. You know that they're like, what the fuck did you just do? And that's what's going to hurt him. It's bad enough that, you know, Russia's like, yeah, sorry, you can't represent us for 4 years. But when you're in the locker room, and we've talked about this plenty of time, that's your family. And when you have to hear the Braden Holtby be like, I'm disappointed, or the Alex Ovechkin be like, what the hell are you thinking? He's going to take that to heart. So I want to see, you know, Washington pull together. We're not supporting a drug addict. We're supporting, you know, someone who's human, who made a mistake and got caught. Okay, moving on. He's still number 92. He still has fantastic stats. And I don't, you know, I don't want to hear anybody, you know, throwing bags of whatever on the ice. Oh, God, that would piss me off.
Well, sad to say, it's going to happen. And yes, there are, and I'm not going to name names, but there are fan segments out there that resort to that crap because, you know, they got no game between their ears.
Right,
because that's all they got is vitriol and insults and nothing having to do with, you know, witty banter or anything like that that's considered, yeah, you know, part of human intelligence.
Right,
but you know, at the same time, you know, Evgeny Kuznetsov, you brought it on yourself, and be prepared to endure this, but in the end, it will hopefully make him, you know, a better person for it, and he'll have learned his lesson. And just like you said, the accountability starts with, it's going to start with his family, and it's going to start with his team. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got to look every one of those people in the eye, and I'm sure he already has by now, and say, well, look, I screwed up. He said it to us fans. I mean, it's I mean, the court of public opinion can be very harsh. Has he suffered enough? You know what? That's not for me to say. But
well, I don't even know if suffer is the word that we want to use. He's received enough, you know, social media punishment. Like, I mean, come on. So I'm sure his wife and his family and everybody knew about this prior to it coming out, obviously, because he dropped his social media accounts like 2 days before it was released. Okay. So he had to deal with that. There is nothing harder than having to look a loved one, whether it's a spouse or a parent or a child, and say, you know what? Mommy screwed up. And this is what I'm going to do. It's heart-wrenching. So, you know what? Yeah, he's going to go through a terrible hazing in the first, you know, half season, maybe the entire season. And then it's on him to prove to fans, doubters, whatever else, that he can be the number 92 that we know that he can, and that this happened, and then that was it.
Yeah, so. No. The worst is not to bring things down even more, but the worst is going to be when his 1 year old, you know, grows up, and sooner or later, you know, he's going to hear about when this happened, and
Right. He's
going to have to look that kid in the eye and say, "Yeah, I did this. I screwed up,"
and that sucks.
Explain it all to him,
right?
And he's going to live it all over again. So, you know, that's. I hate to say this, but that's it's going to go on, you know, in some form or another for the rest of his life. But, you know, here's how it should go, you know, and I gotta give mention to, you know, our consigliere, Chris Levesque. I think he said it best. Top priority is his family. That's where it starts, and that's where
Absolutely.
It ends. So he's answerable to them first, and then to the team and to the organization, and to us as well, us the fans. But, you know, it's also on us to be there to support him, and to be there and cheer for him whether he's on the ice or off the ice, and to let him know that we're behind him. And
agreed.
That's the greatest thing that we, the fans, can give him. And no matter how you feel, you know, in that, look, I'm disappointed too. I won't lie. I'm extremely disappointed, but I'm not so stupid that, you know, I love this team, and I have for over 40 years of my life. And there have been dark moments that this team has lived through. I'm not going to mention some things, but those that have followed this team for a long time, like I have, you kind of know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to dredge up those memories, but I think we'll end on this note. Together is the best way all of us and Kuzi will get through this thing. And so there's no room for sniping at each other, you know, vehement disagreements, whether you feel like, you know, feel really angry at him for what he did, which is okay too. That's fine. Or if, you know, you're more lenient about it and say, he slipped up, he's fine. No matter where you are on that spectrum, all of us as fans, as Caps fans, need to be in his corner and let him know. That's our job. Okay. And you need to stick to that and stay in that lane. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. I agree. All right. I think we're good. Good to wrap it up for
yep.
tonight.
I think we are. I think we both said our piece and got what we wanted out there. So, yeah, with that, for Anna Knox, I am the Blue Liner on point, and still waiting for hockey to start in 36 or so days, just like the rest of you. And keep on enjoying what's left of the summer. And I want to just remind you, one more time, that the girl smeared peanut butter on the road. Why? To go with a traffic jam.
I didn't miss those at all over the summer.
But you missed me.
I don't know. Jury's still out.
Sure it is. Hallelujah. All right. And let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
But other than that, no, I think it'll be hopefully a quick job.
That's not what she said.